Hello, friend. Welcome to the Watery The Show podcast. We are so happy to have the pleasure of your company. If this is your first time listening, sit back, relax. We hope you enjoy. If you are coming back because you enjoy our content and you'd like to support us, you can go to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/WateryDesho. We've got all kinds of fun rewards and bonus content like early access, Discord roles, additional audio and video content, all in three budget-friendly tiers. If you're not able to support us financially, no biggie, we totally understand. If you'd like to help us out for free, you can always give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, which helps our discoverability. You can follow us on SoundCloud, on Twitter, at WateryDeshow. You can always send us an email at WateryDeshow@gmail.com if you want to correspond with us. We may not get to read every correspondence on the show, but I can promise you that we do read and try to respond to every single one, because we do love our community, which we hope you'll be a part of. Thank you for your kind attention, friend, and without further ado, let's get to the show. Hello, friends. Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and NBs, back to Watery Desho Stream of Thought, talking about the Vikings, the one and only Norse legend heritage thing. Bjorn.
Did you machine translate that?
Yep. I did.
Oh my,
that was me.
Oh my god. Like, by the way, this is real hoodie hours, as you can see. Both me and Doc are wearing hoodies today. Doc, yes. Because of his apparently isn't too warm, whereas my home at the moment, I have the heating on, I still have a hoodie on. I'm probably gonna set some part of this setup behind me on fire to keep me warm at some point. Because currently it's incredibly cold everywhere in England at the moment. December sucks. You heard it from me first. And if I may get us started, let us begin with the Fs in chat for our dear mushroom connoisseur, Fallen in Battle, Bjorn. Fs in chat.
Yep.
Pay your respects, folks.
That's right. I'm pressing F now.
May he rest in peace in the Mushroom Kingdom. Forever.
And ever. The Mushroom Kingdom.
That's his heaven. That's his heaven. You know this as well as I do.
You gotta, are they gonna put his corpse into a pipe?
No, he's gonna. Pew, pew, pew.
And now he's off to the big, you know, World 1-1 in the sky.
If I ever get round to it and I suddenly also develop a sense of, like, colors and artistic talent, I will actually make a Super Mario World, like, beyond sprite. It would work.
Man, I need to get on Mario Maker and do a level called the Rip Bjorn.
Oh,
that
no.
Needs to happen. It's just a big mushroom. And there will be other parts to it. I haven't conceptualized them yet, but the large mushroom will happen, and it will make you grow large as a tribute to our fallen...
Incredible.
Our fallen hero, you know? I mean, the main character of the show is dead, Shadon.
I know,
our
that's
avatar.
It. Pack it up. Pack it up. Let's call it a day. I'm done watching Vinland Saga now. Why come back?
I know. I mean, just there's, you know, the political intrigue can kick rocks compared to, you know,
all this devastation of, like, you know, of meeting old friends again after all this time, you know, the burden of aging, you know, 11 years later, all this awful stuff. Doesn't matter. My favorite mushroom boy ain't gonna mushroom no more. You ain't gonna
no more Shroomomania for us.
No,
it's very tragic, but we'll try to soldier on and do this.
I do hope that Beyond Tombstone is just a giant, well, toadstool. It's what he would have wanted.
It is. It's true. Yep, and that's what's important. I'm the subtle doctor, by by the way. I don't think I mentioned that. Shadon is with me here from the other side of the pond, the hardest working man in pod business.
Well, I don't know about that, but hardest drinking man in pod business. I think that's probably the more accurate description.
That's not contradictory claims.
Drinking alcohol is not hard work, by the way. Spoilers, by the way, for our final Vinland Saga stream. When it happens, I will be drinking mead on that.
It must happen.
Oh, of course.
It must happen. There will be other surprises in store, I'm sure, for you. But the mead you've been... I feel like you've been... You called that a while back, right? Like
I did, and mm-hmm. I promise I will get round to it. I promise I will get drunk on stream just once for covering Vinland Saga. It's what Bjorn would have wanted.
Again, it's true. It's just it's what we need to do as a community is honor his wishes. I think, you know, it's what anime deserves, right?
Mm-hmm. deserves me making a tit of myself live on air to you know how many people may be watching this thing in time because I'm drinking 14% mead. Whoops.
Well, now the anime can drink along with you because it turned 21 this week.
Oh,
Vinland Saga. Yep, it's come of age.
That was the best segue ever. I feel like we need to start having a competition on who can outdo each other with the best segue on this show.
Oh, I lose so hard. Like I'm terrible at it. This was the exception that proves the rule.
Well, if I get rich, I'm gonna win it by default forever just by having a segue in the background, completely uncommented on. Best segue on the show.
Would be the worst segue of any show if you had a segue in the background of your
you have your no shot. Imagination, honestly. No imagination.
Well, look, before we can fully go into debaucherous revelry with Vinland Saga, we need to look back one last time at episode 20, specifically the Twitter polls, and check in on what you, our viewers / listeners, had to say about various polls that we put out on the Watery Dash Show Twitter at Watery Dash Show. If you'd like to participate, more polls will be coming at you throughout this stream in the last week. So head on over and vote. We'll update you on them at the end of this stream and then at the beginning of the next one.
So you're right. So let's take it from the top then. Vinland Saga, episode 20, poll number one. Is Floki the salacious crumb to King Swain's Danish jabber? 42% said, oh, 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 oh.
Duh.
Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Slay or nigh.
I mean, I think if I do that voice anymore, I'm going to start taking cough drops. But anyway, 42% he said that, and 58% he said, well, I'm not doing the noise that he makes. Just, you all know what it sounds like. Just imagine your head.
That's good. The screaming incoherent noise. Yeah. That's good. The salacious crumb.
Imagine Frank Oz, like, you know, going completely insane on LSD, and that's basically how it sounds.
Man, I used to love, I still love, actually, when Jabba, like, gets mad. Like, it's so funny to me. His whole, like, you know, huge eyes and just the nods, like, who da Chuba? Like, it's, oh god, it cracks me up, that scene, every time. When
What do you reckon he's actually saying, like, you know, apart from his usual gibberish, like, oh, by cripes, I didn't mean for this to happen, this is most uncouth.
Exactly. Or
do you reckon he's like, you know what, you posh quack, I'll fucking have you. Like that.
It's just like, probably the latter, but I'd like to think that he's just like, oh, dearie me, I feel as if, and don't take this the wrong way, but you may have stepped a skosh out of line. If you could just perhaps rephrase what you said, maybe we'd be able to get along like sporting gentlemen.
Now is not the time. It's the new season premiere of Babylon 5, you fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
I can just imagine seeing being there. I mean, he clearly is a couch potato, let's be honest.
And they don't have DVR in the Star Wars
feature. Oh, no, no.
I mean, they had to watch it live.
Light speed, lasers, lightsabers even, you know, all that. Streaming services? On demand? No. Possible.
Man, do you remember when everyone... So, like, okay, you're aware of, like, I don't know what they call this phenomenon. There's a word for it. But when a product becomes so synonymous with a particular brand that we just all start calling... For instance, tissues, Kleenex.
Ooh, people in chat, use your Google things, use your search engines to search with, and tell us this while we're live on air.
It was for a while Tylenol, I think, had such a grip on the painkiller that every, you know, give me a Tylenol instead of
Tums, Pepto Bismol.
But like, the DVR sort of, I don't know, industry in the very beginning, I guess, had so few visible competitors that everyone used to call it TiVo. You know, TiVo the show. I guess Google is like this, like when you just mean to search for something, although you are using Google all the time. It's not like exactly like Kleenex, but I just remembered when we talked about DVR, for some reason, my brain was like, you know, Salacious Crumb, you didn't TiVo Babylon 5. And I'm like, we used to call it TiVoing.
Oh, man.
Which is weird.
Moving away from TiVo, poll number two. Now we're going to talk about something distinctly British and superior to all of your American pig food. Yep. Sorry to put it out there so bluntly, but I just thought I'd be fair to you know and point out. Is the pasty just a calzone? Because that's a thing now. 38% of you have no taste and no idea what the hell you're talking about because you said totally, which fucking isn't. I'll just tell you that now. Don't make me get out of this. I'll let Doc solo this for a bit while I get on a plane. But 62% of you, you know, you're in the clear. You and I, we could be friends. I'm just saying. Next up, poll number three. This is the Fortnite question that we got to put in, you know, because Doc wanted to get the Fortnite books. What did you think of Gunnar's dance? 25%.
I didn't get it, but now I get it because I'm not looking at them. Okay.
25%, move over the floss. 25%, I'd learn it if I could. And 50%, I don't even. I don't even either, folks. But then again, Gunnar's got something else going on this episode, which I'll bring up when we get to it, because I've never seen a more transparent person in my entire life. I'm surprised it wasn't fucking see-through.
Canute, you know, like, what makes you say that he's a spy? Well, do you kind of everything.
Do you want to start listing, Canute? I'm going to be here for a while.
Like, unfurl a scroll that's like 6 feet long.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly. They'd have been there for hours. Mm-hmm. And finally, episode 20, poll number four, is the crown a spirit? So is it basically the Lich King's helmet from World of Warcraft?
It's the crown a spirit.
Yeah. 48% said yes and 52% said no. So, depending on who you ask in any given room, you know, half the people think that Vinland Saga is a paranormal mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, there we are.
I mean, that's what I think.
Well, I'm sure we'll find out as the episodes continue and we get towards the conclusion. But otherwise, that brings us to the end of the polls for episode 20. So thank you very much, actually, to everyone who joined us this time. Really good to always have you throwing in a couple of the answers to the polls there. More coming your way, Lace, which I'll be putting through on the YouTube chat as we go. Indeed. Back over to you, Doc.
Yep. But before we talk about... Now we can move on, by the way, to 21. But before we talk about what happened in the episode, let's talk about... the episode director, really briefly here, Sakai is what the Japanese title is. Translates to reunion, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Yusuke Sunoichi directing. Once again, the director's chair, only a single occupant this time. You know, I thought that they did a pretty good job with this. I enjoyed, and this is not on the director per se, but like I enjoyed this episode. I thought that there were numerous instances of really high quality, highly detailed facial expression.
Yes, yes, there was.
There were some really good like reaction shots and things like that. That again, it looked like they took some extra time to add some extra shadows, shading, detail lines, and that added a lot to the episode. But Sunoichi has directed before. Once again, we're in reruns here. They directed episode 10, and just like on that show, I will say here again, not a huge resume for Sunoichi. Or is it Sunoichi? Am I reading this wrong? I might be reading this wrong. I am.
Just call him Simon and I've done with it.
Yeah. Yusuke Sunoichi. Sorry, apologies, Yusuke-san. I'm going to shout this out again because it's really fun to see your reaction to when I say this. Production assistant on Mass Effect Paragon Lost, the movie.
Oh, bloody hell.
Just forget it exists all the time.
That's basically what's happened to Mass Effect, the franchise in general. Even I forgot about it when I promised I'd start streaming it.
You did forget about it.
Yeah. I guess my mass just wasn't very effective for too long. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Wow, wow.
But yeah, like, you know, this person has never, it looks like, never, like, helmed a project creatively as, like, a director or an art director or anything like that. They were the unit director for the Ace Attorney opening, mm-hmm. which, I mean, you probably don't want to be associated with the Ace Attorney television anime at this point, but some good credits, though, even though, again, the resume is small, stuff like Drifters, an anime that more people should watch, episode 6. Again, Drifters, an incredible anime that features Jesus commanding an army of orcs. Definitely should watch this show.
Ah, finally, a faithful adaptation of the Old Testament.
Exactly.
I've been waiting all my life for this. I might have actually paid attention in Sunday school. God, literally, why?
If you knew they weren't censoring the Bible, that's all. You're just a conscientious objector to Sunday school. Furikuri Progressive, probably that one isn't so good. I've not seen it yet, but I've heard only disparaging things. But also episode director on episode 13, always important episodes, those, of Haikyuu, the second season. Done some work on the basketball Kuroko plays, mm-hmm. Which I quite like, despite not having watched a lot of it. The stuff that I watched, I did like. But yeah, small CV, but putting in a shift here, again, a good shift, I should say, on Vinland Saga, episode 21, Reunion.
They've certainly done very well with this particular episode, I'll say that ahead of time. And if anything, like, the most recent episodes finally feel like the show's got its stride again. It just keeps hitting it, beat for beat, time after time. True. It's just landing all the right notes, hitting all the right spots. It's working. So keep it up.
It's working.
See it home to the end, boys.
I don't think your poll is posting in chat.
Oh, that's rude of it.
Just because I guess you're not the admin or whatever.
Boo. So,
boo. But head on over to Twitter. Maybe the notifications here will be like, poll one is up. So when you see that, you can just go to Twitter and vote. And again, we'll check in on those at the end of our show. But, excuse me, I apologize. Here we go with our summary of episode 21, the key events. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to our discussion.
There may or may not be a reunion in this episode titled Reunion. We really can't say ahead of time.
What are you even talking about? That would be silly.
Who knows what might happen?
This is a serious show. Those kind of shenanigans and that sort of
A serious show where a guy gets spiraled in the eyes?
Lowbrow humor.
I mean, I was half expecting that dude to have, like, chicks flying around his head.
The horse that got uppercutted into the sky.
Yeah, definitely. How could I forget about that?
Oh, man.
Well, I'm glad I remembered it now.
We may have lost Bjorn, but we still have, you know, our favorite pipe-smoking son, Leif.
The Ericsson.
Yep, Mr.
Leif Ericsson. Our favorite Ericsson, as you say.
That's our favorite Ericsson. Actual historical figure, like many people here. It's just, he's one that I remember because I learned about him in school. I think...
Was that during your Don't Do Drugs class, Doc?
No, unfortunately, wasn't they again censoring the truth.
See what I mean here, folks. Like, you know, the US, they don't have the correct version of the Old Testament where Jesus is leading orcs around. They don't know what pasties are and think they're calzones, and now this shit.
Yeah.
No wonder America's so screwed up.
I should say that this is not to turn this into the Drifters cast, but that army of orcs that Jesus is leading, he's leading it against Oda Nobunaga. Also, Billy the Kid is involved. Joan of Arc, of course. Yeah, so it's good.
Fate grand out of order.
No, it's so much better than that.
Wow. Not that I doubt that, but like...
I love Fate, but Drifters is like hilarious in a way that Fate just isn't. Like, so, yeah. Okay, back on track here. Vikings, the Vikings show. So Leif is there, and he's in this whole episode basically takes place in York. And this is where Leif has been, and he sees that, oh my god, some noblemen are pulling into port. We need to move our fucking boat out of the way.
Yep, it's Canute's Uber driver finally turned up.
It is. The Canute mobile is pulling in. All the blondes, all the available blondes are there. Be Canute, Askeladd, and Thorfinn.
Do you reckon they would be yelling, "I'm on a boat! I'm on a boat! Look at me, I'm on a motherfucker!" Well, you don't know what that is.
No, I don't get it.
I don't believe this.
What, that I don't get a reference? Come on.
Do you have a nuclear fallout bunker just designed to avoid internet memes?
Mm-hmm. Apparently I do.
Because I actually should build one myself, to be fair. So maybe I should be throwing shade on that. I will elaborate on this with Doc after the actual cast.
The chat. Once again, I'm being called out as a robot because for my unfamiliarity with pop culture.
Beep, boop, file not found.
I'd like to think of myself as more data than, more akin to data than beep boop robot. What is this love you speak of, Captain Picard? Interesting.
Oh man, you make me sad now, but I'll tell you why later. That can wait.
Okay, all right. So anyway, Canute and co. Rolling up, and Leif sees them. And at first he sees Askeladd and he's like, holy shit, this guy killed Thors. I can't believe it. He's here. And then he sees Thorfinn and he is like taken aback. Just like, oh my god. I can't believe this. It's you. He's thinking, right? And but then amidst all this, like him kind of recognizing okay, sorry. Mirror just interrupting my train of thought here. But that look, it's a song or is it a meme? What is it?
It's both.
A meme song, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I know some memes. I'm not complete. There, I know memes. You know, we already talked about the like Willy Wonka meme. Okay, that's a very recent and relevant meme.
Tell me more, please.
Definitely. Tell me more about how you know all about memes. There's the one where the sharks are high-fiving each other. That's definitely also new.
So, Doc, sharks. what do you say your TikTok account's on?
Breath Mints, yes. I know of the Breath Mints, the TikToks. I can, yeah. No, okay. I kid. I don't actually have a TikTok account, although I know it is a successor to Vine. McDonald's, anyone? Does that ring a bell? Huh? See, not that old. I know the references. Not a complete fucking old man. I really am. I feel so old lately, dude. Look at what I just struck in your chin.
Do you need a firmware upgrade?
I do. I just need more pop culture exposure. If you could download that into me from the Matrix, I'd be happy.
I'll find you on Tumblr. We'll get you started.
Luckily, my kids are not like allowed unfiltered access to the internet, so they're not like rubbing my nose in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's Dad, you're so out of touch. I mean, well, absolutely. Basically, they have some streamers. This is not the After Hours cast, but. They just have some streamers they follow, and that's kind of it. They don't really interface with social media, and they're very young, so that's going to stay that way for a while.
Good shout.
Yeah. So, Dan TDM, if you're listening, be happy that you're one of the few people from the internet I allowed to my children's lives. Okay? Stampy Longhead. I see you out there. You're definitely watching this. You also have been given the keys to the kingdom that is my brood. So don't take that shit lightly. Don't fucking show up as like a fucking, you know, pro-Jared type one day in my timeline. Or I will just It's going to cause me a lot of stress and heartache. So don't do that shit. Also, respect women should be probably the larger reason that you don't do that shit.
Yeah, anyway. there's plenty of good reasons for that.
Anyway. Okay. I'm going to wrestle this back to Finland. So Canute got shot. You know, it was no longer a good day, as Ice Cube would say. You know, someone had to use their AK, their auto crossbow. Shot Canute right in the chest, and an assassination attempt was made on the life of the prince. And but then we find out Canute, even a larger revelation. Canute's been a woman this whole time, Shadon. You knew it.
I knew it.
We all knew it. We were hip to this from the beginning. And then, oh wait, it's not actually Canute. It's just a body double.
I mean, the way this all was cut and shot, like, not Canute, of course, who obviously was not shot in the end, but the way that this is all set up and cut, like, you can tell just because there's no seamless transition, like, from seeing Canute's face when the arrow lands in the back, that it's obviously not him. Canute here sporting, like, the very, you know, first proper bandana look, by the way. Looking very Axel Lowe from Guilty Gear. Good
Definitely, 1,000%.
I mean, Axel Lowe was time travel, after all, so that'd work.
Just give the man two, mini sides.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, really, together really, with a chain.
And a really, really bad Cockney accent.
Mm-hmm. Always necessary. Which Canute will get because he's grown up in England. Okay? It'll give
for him
10 years.
That sucks.
So, like, yeah, turns out that this was a body double, and the assassin is run down by Thorfinn. He pursues the accuser. And this was a whole big stage thing, and the episode will reveal later on kind of why it happened and who set it up and that sort of thing. But in the beginning, we just see, like, you know, Thorfinn track this guy down and kill him. And right in front of Leif, who is, like, overjoyed just to see this kid. Some people, by the way, accuse Thorfinn of being the killer. And then he just straight cold cocks this one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an incredible scene. Like, the animation on, like, the cheek is just like...
It was, he did a full fours, because if you might remember...
Yeah.
When Thor's cold cocks Bjorn and all the others, like, he just did so in the exact same fashion.
Mm-hmm.
One and done. Glassjawed.
Just put him down. And I thought it was Atli for a second, that they're starting to blend together. These dudes with the pullback.
You know, this is
hair,
what happened with me, actually, if I may point out. I got Atli mixed up with Aegir, I believe it was, previously.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm just... I'm going senile, like, the hair's already gone. You know, put me in a home next, folks. Just cut to the chase on this.
No, it's, look, I've done it. We've all confused one Viking for another at one point in our lives.
Oh, this yeah.
It's a universal experience.
Happened many a time in my life. With the many Vikings I have actually met in real life.
All white people look the same to me. What can I say? Call me racist if you want to. But
damn,
that's my lived experience. no, so... but yeah, look, Leif, like, gives a giant hug, and Thorfinn is just like, Yokata! I don't know, he's just like, I'm so glad that, like, you live, and he's just weeping into his shoulder.
What a moment.
And in the beginning, when Thorfinn doesn't recognize him, he gives a pretty good, like, people's eyebrow, like, you know, who are you again, old man? And then, like, the overlapping faces occurs, which is pretty good.
And this is what happened to Leif when he smoked too much over time. That's why they did that. It's a PSA.
Exactly. Definitely a side effect of
this was Leif Erikson, right? Him smoking marijuana, and now
he discovered
it. Look at him.
He discovered it in America. And at the end of this whole exchange, we see Floki looking kind of pissed off. And he knows that Canute and Askeladd specifically are up to something. And again, they'll get into that. They'll sort of spell out specifically the whys and wherefores. Yeah, so I also like that.
It's so awkward. It's like, do I hook? Do I hook? I don't know. Like, do I embrace this moment? Like, but I'm always angry. I can't decide.
What do I do with physical affection? It's weird when I'm not being a spy.
What's our feelings?
I know. Yes.
Oh man.
So like, there's a scene next that I have in my notes where Thorfinn and Leif are talking. But they play some really good music.
The music in this episode is brilliant.
Like, that was sort of Berserk-esque.
Oh, that's not the last time I'm making a Berserk reference, but I'll save the other one for later.
Okay. It's a very kind of haunting choral.
Tragic. Like, because this is what these moments are in this episode. Like, not to jump too far ahead into talking points, because this is only really easy to be brief, but the music sells the mood as it should be. It helps, you know, accentuate what we, the audience, should be feeling, which is that everything that happens in these moments with Leif and Thorfinn, and then later with Askeladd and Bjorn, like, they are tragic. These never should have happened to begin with. In an ideal world, none of this would have happened, but it does. And the music sells the mood of how we should feel about that. Helps sell the fact that it's an awful waste of life, both in terms of like the people who are still alive and all the waste of time that they've expended doing the pointless things they've done, and then the waste of life in the sense of someone dying unnecessarily. Props to them for doing that.
Yeah, and like you said, it's all emotionally kind of packed into the music. That is very good. And so Thorfinn asks Leif, like, so, Vinland? Like, you know, how have you been? How's the pipe been treating you? Any other questions about home or whatever? And Leif is just like, yo, ask about your family, dude. Like, you should go see your mom. She's in bad health or whatever. And Thorfinn
doesn't even mention Ylva, though, does he?
No. Well, so he doesn't mention her by name, but he does say, like, you should ask about your mom and sister. But then, yeah, he doesn't go on to talk about it. And yes, what foolish boy. And like, Thorfinn is just like, I won't have you answering questions that I didn't ask you. Like, starts yelling and escalating.
Did you
order
the code red? You're goddamn right, I did.
Just immediately.
Like, does he think he's in the courtroom here?
The emotional register just ratchets up immediately. And like, Leif kind of dodges the Vinland question again, despite Thorfinn, you know, being like, this is what my dad wanted to do. Tell me, what's up with it? And Leif is like, come home. Let's go home. And, you know, on and on starts playing by Halcyon.
Oh, no.
You know that song? So I always associate it with Let's Go Home because in the Mortal Kombat movie, that is Liu Kang says, let's go home. And then Halcyon on and on starts playing. It's like shit.
Either that could be Aerosmith. I don't want to miss a thing. Now that's peak cheese right there.
It is peak cheese.
That's the Monterey Jack.
That like comes back around to being legitimately poignant. It's so cheesy.
Oh man.
So yeah, like Leif says, like, haven't you had enough? And this is like, this just like triggers Thorfinn, sends him on one. He remembers a lot of things, I think, in this moment. He's basically just like, you don't know me. Like, you don't know the first thing about what I've been through since my dad died, since we were separated. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to talk to me about anything, right? Like, you don't need to lecture me or tell me when it's enough. As long as Askeladd is still breathing. I believe the phrase he uses is eating and shitting, but say breathing, then it won't be enough. And like, he's just snarling and he is spitting venom and he is acerbic.
That's right.
Leif Chan, who should be protected at this point, I think. OG song. So then we see Bjorn. Bjorn! It's just making me sad all over again.
I'm going to note, by the way, just to interrupt briefly, that this scene, I've been told, apparently did not exist in the manga, period. The first time that we would have seen Bjorn in the manga in this storyline, or this particular part, would have been when he later arrives for his, you know, early morning Tuesday duel and, you know, tea and biscuits with Askeladd.
I like that this is there. I like this better.
I really like this edition for a lot of reasons, but I'm going to talk about that later. But I will just want to mention that and allow you to carry on my good
thing. Sure. You know, he meets with Askeladd and they exchange some pleasantries. Askeladd seems to be pretty awkward. Bjorn tells him, like, I think I deserve more than this room for the service I've given. And Askeladd is just like, ha ha! Right.
It's okay, Bjorn. We're going to leave a shitty TripAdvisor review when we're done. 2 stars. Would not visit again.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Airbnb Askeladd. Do you really think that I deserve this as a punishment? Death would be better than sleeping in one of those places. Fuck's sake, man.
Askeladd's just like, so, how's the food? How about those Dodgers, eh? Having a hell of a year. Yeah, and Bjorn, sort of at the end of the small talk, you know, he's just like, you could leave. I'm fine. But how's your leg? And Askeladd's like, well, it's good enough to hold a sword. And Bjorn says, then tomorrow. And my first thought was, Bjorn is pushing him to fight Thorfinn. And that turns out to not be the case, which we'll see in a sec.
Nope.
So Mirror says the scene was in the manga. It just happened earlier. Some events were rearranged.
Not unusual for this show. Oh, that's the thing. I've just spied it. It'll come up in a second. Ilver is married and has kids. Oh, shit. Thorfinn's an uncle.
Congrats, Thorfinn. Congrats.
God, that's going to be an awkward family reunion when they finally
reunion meet part up. Two.
Bobby and whatever your name is, like I told you once that I had a long lost brother. Here he is.
And
Fawf is just scowling, like
has like blood dripping off of his knives.
I've got to kill Askeladd in a minute. Can we make this quick?
Has like an arrow sticking out of his shoulder. Hi, kids.
it's rough out there.
Yes, exactly. Enjoy your youth, because one day it'll be stripped from you like so much cheesecloth, and you too will be flung into this cold, uncaring world to die or to become an evil.
See your dad
twisted,
there? If he gets on a boat and you think to yourself it's a great idea to go and stow away along with it, don't do it. Just trust me on this one.
Throw yourself into the sea.
Whoa,
we
big
not
street.
Have, no. That was such a cool scene, like I said, and I was immediately just thinking, he's pushing him to duel Thorfinn. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the plotting room, you know, the schemiverse.
The war room.
Exactly. And just to hammer home how much Askeladd is, you know, like cunningly
chess
making
master.
A plan. Yeah. We've got the shot of the spider in front of the camera. Which is sort of in the beginning is kind of blurred out, but then the shot shifts focus and we see the spider crawling around as Askeladd talks, because he in fact is the spider and we're all in his web. I'm not saying this is bad or like sort of a poor directorial or poor on the part of the mangaka if this is like a shot for shot redo. It just is like, you know, it's some low-hanging symbolic fruit, but that's okay. That's good. That's fine.
Sometimes that works.
Yeah. And so we find out that the reason there was this body double and there was an attempt on his life is to sort of force the king's hand when it comes to the reward and assignment he would give to Canute, because Askeladd and Canute were worried that that Thorkell and Canute would be separated by king's decree. They will be given rewards of like strongholds or territory that are far apart from each other, a quote unquote reward, but that way they will be pulled apart so they couldn't join forces against the king. But with an attempt on the young prince's life and a different heir out there that it's well known that the king wants, I think, to succeed him. Now, if the king in his reward and assignment does something that looks like it will be disadvantageous to Canute, then it will be the nobles and the military will have much more of a case to be like, well, the king really is trying to, you know, make Canute look bad. And maybe I should believe these rumors that he's trying to kill him, because clearly he is putting him in the bad position here by giving him York, or at least giving him some kind of territory away from Orkel. So they're trying to make sure that doesn't happen. And
thus fake news was invented, also, folks.
As we've already pointed out, Gunnar is a spy.
And spy my ass.
Very
he's
much
the shittiest like, spy I've ever
so
seen in my entire
life. Askeladd is here. It's like having 10,000 troops.
Oh, yay!
He's so good. Boom, shuts the door. Oh, shit. I've got to go tell the king right away. And, like, you know, Thorfinn follows him and he sees him. But, you know, being the chess master he is, Askeladd has planned for this. In fact, it's sort of part of his entire long view game plan from the beginning. And he will use the spy to relay information to the king, having the king believe it wholeheartedly and without question if it comes from a spy. So the idea there was to relay the message to the king, hey, Canute don't want to mess with you right now. He has a grudge against you. He's already pointed it out, but he's playing the long game. You don't have to punish him right away. You don't have to try to get rid of him right now because he's not going to do anything right now.
Can I just say, like, so given everything we learned of Gunnar in this
grand
scene,
plan to keep Canute and his vassals united and keep him out of the king's immediate like radar for keep him off the shit list for the time being.
Yeah. Can I just point out, by the way, that like everything we see of Gunnar in this particular
scene.
Also,
in the scene, Canute says no more body doubles ever. He did not like that the young lady perished. I cannot hear you.
Oh, that's great.
Did I? Oh, this is my fault. I can hear you.
Doc is trying to silence the majority. He's trying to silence.
This is my fault. My headphones came ever so slightly unplugged. I apologize. You probably have been trying to cut in for a few minutes.
I was just going to say, like, seeing Gunnar in that scene, like, I would not trust him to tell me, like, you know, what the weather is outside or how the local stock markets are doing or where's best to go get, you know, a decent bite to eat. Because as a spy, I'm just going to say this bluntly, he is shite ass.
He's the worst.
He's fucking terrible. He's, like, sneaking around the woods afterwards like he's dick fucking dastardly. No, seriously, with that mustache. Are you telling me that he's a spy? Jesus Christ.
I mean, he might as well have come into the meeting with a t-shirt that said, definitely not a spy. Like,
I mean,
that's
Austin
like the
Powers
level.
Was less conspicuous than this prick.
Sherlock from Kabukicho Sherlock is better.
Yeah!
When he wears those Tekken disguises.
Exactly.
God. Yeah, Gunnar is the worst. The worst spy in the history of spies. Boy, not a good start. Luckily, England would rebound in terms of a nation known for having good spies, be they fictional or otherwise. But he's a fictional too, so yeah, I guess not an auspicious start for England's fictional spy club. But you'd have a good one come around the bend in a few centuries, I think. Okay, so I've not lost you again, have I?
No, okay. I'm still here.
You are still there. Okay. Let's see, where are we in the notes? I'm at the bottom here. Thorfinn, after he's done following Gunnar to the king's house, he says, this is a really interesting scene, I thought, where he's having an inner monologue. We don't get a lot of inner monologue in this show, or at least we didn't for a time. Maybe we're getting more of it now. I kind of haven't been paying attention, but in kind of an inner monologue moment, you know, Thorfinn says, everyone's obsessed with deceiving each other. Is that what a warrior, a true warrior, is supposed to do? Well, there's only one thing that I know I'm supposed to do. And then it's tomorrow. And what does that mean, Shadon? It's duel time, baby.
I thought it was two for Tuesdays at Domino's Pizza, so we could go get ourselves like a cheeky extra, you know, a little bit of pepperoni. Can I not have a little bit of pepperoni? No?
After the morning ritual of fight to the death, then you can have your pepperoni.
This is the worst.
Yeah, we got to sit through this part. So, yeah, it's duel time. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, yes, sir. Here we go. It's Thorfinn and it's Askeladd. We've been waiting for this for months. And we're going to see it. No, we're not. Because Askeladd has other engagements.
They have to, you know, make sure they clear out this area real quick, because there is, of course, you know, a queue building up for duels happening in the snow nearby, not least of which is Guts versus Griffith scheduled at 10 o'clock sharp.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, Griffith at his...
In fact, maybe they're already doing it and they're just looking over like, what do you reckon they're up to over there? Ah, dude gives a shit. Busy. Now fight me, Guts, you prick.
Are you saying the fictional kingdom of Midland is in fact England?
Midland, Vinland, they're all the same, really, aren't they?
So, like, oh, man. Griffith, by the way, the outfit he has on in that scene is incredible. I love that jacket, the coat, rather, the purple. He's got the golden shoulder. He looks so regal and amazing. And
I mean, I've just realized, by if you said Canute's hair white and put that hat on again, he's not too far off how Griffith looks,
this is,
actually.
Listen, I think I pointed this out, actually, when we first saw him. It's like, yes, this is our Griffith type. But look, like, that, I'm sad you reminded me of this, because that's like the moment, when it begins, right? That's like the apex, Griffith's apex mountain is when he steps out onto the snow to duel Guts. He is the highest he will be, and it begins a precipitous fall, and it's very sad. And I hate it so much. But yeah. Duel time. It turns out the duel opponent of Askeladd is, in fact, Bjorn.
Yeah.
Bjorn appears. And
he's going to play the Bjorn Eyes White Dragon right here in this duel. I'll tell you that for free.
He's like slowly kind of trudging up the snow. And a really heartbreaking final scene. Like, he and Askeladd have their duel with Canute being the witness. Why are you just standing there, Canute? Why are you going to let this happen? Why are you going to let our top shroom get snuffed out?
Top shroom.
He's our top shroom. yeah, Bjorn is just like, yo, Askeladd. He says all this while, you know, in labored breathing. I really looked up to you, man. I really looked up to you, even though you hated me, and I'm not the only one who did that. Like, you hated all of us, you know, and I just wanted to be friends with you. Just wanted to be Tomodachi, B. And then they commence dueling, and Askeladd misses the vital point, and so Bjorn gets to remain around for a few brief seconds to deliver his final line, which is just echoing what he said a moment ago. I just wanted to be friends with you. And like any true friend would, Askeladd puts a knife through his heart
right after Bjorn, you know, just says, bury with my children, Askeladd, which is of course a secret mushroom saw.
Right, exactly.
Bury me amongst my family. let me live amongst them for all time.
Bury me in that one spot, and the forest god hangs out with all those mushrooms. But Askeladd also says, you know, importantly, he's like, yeah, like, you were my only friend, and then stabs him in the heart. I need to get the order of events right. That's important.
Just teaching a lesson for the kids, you know, like, you're going to end up murdering your friends eventually, so you might as well at least be ready for it when it happens.
Yeah. So that's the episode, man.
That was the episode reunion. Woofed.
Yep.
Man, that...
It's a toughie.
It was a toughie. Should we address patron questions first? Get those covered?
Yeah, sure.
So that way we don't forget. All right. So we have two this week, the first of which comes from Failwolf. This one is quite the question. Would you take a kid hostage if it meant saving your friend's life? With a picture posted in our Discord, by the way, beyond like holding Thorfinn at knife point from episode 4. I have thought about this a little bit. And I know that sounds like a bad start when I have to think about, would I take a kid hostage? That's not
well, you're
a good
taking
start,
the question seriously. We have to.
Well, here's that, the thing, right? Like, this is an extension of that principle of how far would you go from a friend? Like, what is your, like, level to work with, so to speak? So let's be honest here, right? I have a couple of very good friends who I know over here. I, of course, have Doc and all that, and a lot of other people that I'm very fond of. Peace, bro. Here's the thing. I'm sorry, Doc, I would not take a kid hostage for you to save your life. I know that's going, and I know you're going to cut the stream imminently, and that's going to be the end of this podcast as we know it. Just going to be turned into so much ash. But here's the thing, right? I think that, you know, we all have certain levels to which we will go to for other people, often in line with our own morals. And there are many, many things I would do for my friends if they asked me. If I had a friend of mine, for example, who, you know, say needed a kidney donating, well, I wouldn't give them mine, mm-hmm. necessarily, because they're pretty knackered. But what I mean to say is that if they were viable and they were, you know, not in bits as they already are, I would do that. I would give a kidney for them. I would transfuse, you know, give them blood, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I think that in Bjorn's case, the reason he was willing to go so far is because he's already lived that life of violence, you know, where his, like, you know, the lines he will cross, have, like, he's crossed so many. What's one more, really, at this point, to take a kid hostage to save Askeladd's life? So I think that there's a distinct difference, like, between how far you're willing to go for a person from actually what you will do for a person.
Right.
I think that those are two separate things that kind of fall along the same axis. Like, you could argue, for example, that me giving my kidney away is going as far as beyond us to take someone hostage, mm-hmm. you know, to save Askeladd's life, in a sense, even though they're very different acts.
Yeah.
So my answer is no, but there are many, many things I would definitely do in place of that to save a friend's life.
Remind me of the specific situation from episode 4 where he takes a kid hostage.
Well, he's taking Thorfinn hostage.
Oh, yes, that's right, because Thor's... Yes, okay. It's dumb me. Okay. I have a two-part answer to this. One is, like you said, would I basically be willing to cost someone else physical and emotional harm to save a friend's life?
I'd fight for them, certainly, if that's also something I should clarify.
Yeah,
I'd throw down.
I think when it comes to friends, geez, I might have to say no, but, like, I would, just because, yeah, like, another, that child's well-being, it's always really hard, but, like, just thinking about that gives me pause. I mean, if it were about, like you said, my own body, you know, would I take a bullet for someone I was really close to, yes. That no one else is being harmed in that scenario, right? Directly by me. That would be probably more amenable to my, like, moral calculus than causing that kind of grievous harm to somebody else. Even if I knew I wasn't going to do anything to the kid, again, like, so much emotional harm. Mm-hmm. Also, accidents happen. Oh, sorry, you go first and then I'll finish.
Well, I was going to say, there's a very, even between you and me, Doc, like, there is a very different latitude in how we'd approach this question, even if we came to the same answer, because I'm not a father, but you are.
Well, this is the second part of it, is that I was talking about friends. If I'm talking about family, yes, I would. I would do it in a heartbeat. I would, if it meant, like, their guaranteed safety and protection, like, if it were to save their life, like you said, and I, these, like, hypothetical kind of in a vacuum moral questions are tough, because how could we ever know, really, a lot of times, whether or not our doing a thing is causally related to someone else's life being saved. But if I knew that with dead certainty, like if an evil genius kidnapped all of us and we were in a Saw-like scenario, and he's like, you must take the hostage to save the life of your kids. Like, yes, yes, I will do it immediately and with great relish. If it means that to save my kids or my wife, like, I would take that on, fully aware of the awful thing I was doing, but I would do it nonetheless. And then I would give copious amounts of money to that kid's family so they could go to therapy and, like, work out what the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, well, this person kidnapped me. I feel like it's just so many, like, it's so much. Like, yeah, so I would try to support them afterward in any way I could. But this is all getting away from the Vinland-ness of it. But, like, you know, yeah, I think I would put a knife to Thorfinn's throat if it meant to save my kids. No question.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough, then. So thank you very much for that question, Fairwolf. I hope it never actually comes to pass in reality.
Please. Please.
Please, please, no. Don't put me in that scenario if at all possible. All right. So next question, moving away from kidnapping and child murder, let's talk instead about something else. This question comes from good old Blinkardi. Shouts to you, Blink, for always chiming in with some excellent questions on this. What do you think of Askeladd's personal mission in regards to Wales over the course of his life, and how does that mirror Thorfinn's? So again, I've had time to think on this. This is the benefit of working a job ahead of time in the UK. Always handy. Hello, Sophie, by the way. Good to have you joined us. So here's the thing, right? Askeladd's mission. What has he actually done over the course of his life since he had this idea in his head of hating the Danes and wanting to basically fuck with their shit? And the honest answer to this is that his mission has been really, really badly executed or even conceived from the beginning. Because all he's done is he's been a pirate. Like, he's not like led, say, for example, an organized resistance or an active, you know, like, plot to take down the king or, you know, and such. And by all accounts of what we've seen thus far, it's not that it doesn't seem like he's even considered it. He's just simply become what his father was, as we evidenced in previous episodes about cycles. You've heard me talk about this before. I'll not make a cycle of talking about cycles if I can all help it, but you know how things go.
Do the meta.
just gets too meta, honestly. But that's my point. I think Askeladd's mission has been a complete waste of his time, to be quite honest. Now, on top of that, it's also incredibly morally repugnant what he's been doing, let's be fair here. But, you know, if he actually had any intention of helping Wales in the slightest right now, he might wanted to, you know, have maybe toned down the piracy a little bit and actually focus on harming the Danes in a way that would, you know, release their chokehold on Wales.
Campaign against fishing off the coast and against blubber oil. Save the whales, man.
Oh, God, we're going to get into some fucking EU fishery shit here. There's some contemporary politics for you. But no, like, I think that, for all that he has, like, this agenda, like with Thorfinn, as Blink asked, he's not gone about it in, certainly, the most efficient, direct, or, you know, effective way that he could have done it. If he wanted to harm the Danes, there are a million and one things he could have done. Like, if Swain was on a boat, for example, out somewhere in sea, he could have ambushed him and killed him there and then. I mean, come on, he was cunning enough to put an ambush together for Fors, and he wasn't going to do that on his own, like, initiative for King Swain, for example. I'm just saying that he probably could have done it if he felt so inclined. In fact, never mind, he could have done it. He is doing it.
He's doing it
in
now.
This very episode. Yeah. He's doing it right now. So all these 11 years of it, like, at least that we've seen him, you know, fanning around doing this piracy shit, you like, you know, posing for, like, I don't know, Death Row record covers. I mean, exactly. You remember that. Yeah, you remember that.
Odin forgives, but we don't.
Yeah, exactly. For all that he's been doing that, like, you know, his plan has been pathetic, and indeed one might then argue that maybe that's the point. Maybe he never truly believed in his own agenda of trying to help Wales, and secretly was just the money-grubbing, like, bloodthirsty, you know, mercenary that he's been all along. We'll leave that for up to debate. But yeah, I think it mirrors Thorfinn's perfectly in the sense that Thorfinn, you know, as I've said many times, should have killed Askeladd right there and then. Damn the duel, damn the ritual, damn the, you know, honor system and all this crap. Like, killing Askeladd early on, I mean, he spent 11 years of his life waiting for this to happen. What a fucking waste. You know, if he'd killed Askeladd within, say, in fact, never mind, if, let's go back to that scene where he had Askeladd, like, you know, in the stable where he was asleep and he could have stabbed him in his sleep. You know, if he'd do it there and then, yeah, he was still a boy, but he could have gone and done anything else from that point in his life. Maybe even go looking for Vinland, because he certainly still has a feeling for that here and there. But again, his life has been wasted by what's happened. Hmm. So for Ian Askeladd, they've got agendas, they've got ideas, they've got pretensions or notions towards an overall goal, but they certainly haven't done it in the cleanest or most effective way they could have done it. Actually kind of betrays, you know, their own immaturity in the matter, I would argue.
Do you think they both might be, in some deep subconscious part of them, afraid of achieving their goals?
I'm going to address this in a little bit, funnily enough, actually. Okay. So I will I'll keep my mouth shut for the moment. But yeah, that's my answer to it. I think that Askeladd's execution of the whole thing has been, well, from one fine game player to another blink, scrubbish. He's been a scrub.
Well, so let me try to amass a devil's advocate counter-argument.
You'll play devil's advocate for Askeladd?
Yeah.
Wow.
So just an advocate.
I mean, you really are being the dark horse in this. Like, you know, he's gonna you know, put another kid to, you know, the knife and all that. And on top of that, he's going to play devil's advocate for Askeladd, the fucking snake of the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus Christ, Doc, like, you know, which part of your speed dial does Lucifer occupy? Is it one or two? I'm not sure.
Six, obviously.
I have to call it a day now. That's it. I've been thoroughly owned.
So
well played, man.
Grazie. So Askeladd. How well kind of, or how concrete in his mind are we talking about his mission being? You know, so is his mission just, I hate the Danes and I want to cause them, like, annoyance? Because if so, his pirating has been quite, you know, useful to that end, because he's been killing Danes and plundering their villages and shit. You know, I think the whole sort of non-aggression pact, correct me if I'm wrong, manga readers and people that remember things, and like yours truly, but like it feels like kind of an audible on his part, like I see an opportunity here and I'm going to take it for the benefit of Wales. And yeah, before he was just like amassing wealth for whatever. And mm-hmm. yeah, causing annoyance and suffering to Danish villages everywhere.
Mm. That could be true as well. Like, if it turns out that Wales for him is only just a peripheral thing, again, maybe it's an excuse that he says to himself, oh, you know what? I'm pillaging and plundering and I'm like killing people and like taking their women and, you know, making, like, great, you know, material for future Viking metal bands. But, hey, hey, you know what? I'm doing it for Wales. You know?
Yes, exactly.
That's my excuse, whether or not he doesn't care a fig leaf about Wales or not.
Mm.
Like, it could very well just be that. And maybe he always is just, like, exactly as we see him, which is to say, murderous, scheming, scumbag pirate.
Do you think Masa's onto something, that maybe he was, like, an idealist once? Like, he's waiting around for Artorias, and then at some point it was just like, eh, it's not happening. and then Canute shows up, right?
Well, the funny thing is, maybe that in of itself, like, could be an interesting contrast to Thorfinn, because Thorfinn is an idealist in a sense at the moment with how he wants to fight Askeladd in this duel. But as I've said many times, and I'll keep repeating until Askeladd finally does, you know, go one foot in the grave, maybe he should have given up on that idealism a while ago.
Hmm.
Just a thought.
So to contrast with Thorfinn, I guess to me, like, Askeladd's mission feels a lot more daunting, a lot more kind of conceptually vague, and possibly not graspable in one's lifetime, whereas Thorfinn's is very concrete. You know, he's in control of all of it. You know, he doesn't really have to depend on other people to see mm-hmm. it through, and it feels like at almost any time he could really carry it out. And that's why I was thinking...
He fucking should!
So I was thinking maybe he's kind of afraid to.
Could have done it a million times over by now, like, you know. We could say this is his own gag reel of, like, how many different ways Thorfinn could have killed Askeladd by now. There's going to be hundreds of them, I tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
Honestly, like, Thorfinn is basically the fucking... He's fucking Wile E. Coyote at this point, chasing the Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. He's trying so hard, and he just can't succeed at all. And now I'm just imagining Thorfinn falling off a cliff, and it's just...
And, you know, he's so young that, like, maybe part of, like, making this comparison and the parallel being shown by the show is sort of a cautionary tale, perhaps. Like, you know, here's a guy who's, like, lived his whole entire life and hasn't accomplished what he really wanted to accomplish. Thorfinn, is this what you want to be? This feels like he could do this. And then, but like you're probably going to talk about, like, that's sort of scary to accomplish your life's goal at like age like 18 or whatever. Cause then what do you do?
I mean, unless Thorfinn wants to audition for like the earliest, you know, version of Ultimate Ninja Warrior, I think he's fucked.
He could do really well on that show.
He really could, actually. But anyway, thank you very much for that question, Blinkaji. If you yourselves listening in the audience would like to get involved and ask us questions week on week about any topic you want us to cover on Vinland Saga, feel free to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/warrior-show. Get yourself signed up for that for just a token couple of dollars per month. We promise not to deprive you of too many Popeye's chicken sandwiches or whatever your local equivalent is, depending on where
just
you're coming from.
Sacrifice one. And then you
yeah,
get
I know it's stuff. I know it's a hard ass. I know it's really difficult, but please give it a consider. There's plenty of other great content to get from that as well. Early exclusives, things like our Christmas Ghibli casts, the Kabuki Show Sherlock cast we've been doing, where I will be losing my shit in serious form come Wednesday on episode 9. You get to look forward to that.
I haven't seen the episode yet. I am.
I've got the steak knives are out on this. The steak knives are out on this one. Seriously, that episode made me want to spit.
Lyrical fire.
Is that... Oh, God. No, I was just thinking spit, as in regular spit.
Spit, okay.
Yeah, exactly, like into a bucket.
How many times, I'm curious, like, no one will ever do this, but what if someone went back through our 2019 content and tracked how many times we, mostly you, I think, bring up, like, fast food chicken... you know, chains to slag them off. I bet the count is shockingly high. I bet we'd be surprised at the number.
Yeah. It's our own variety bucket here, folks, unfortunately.
Variety bucket, more chicken
jokes.
Oh,
it is.
Chicken jokes
it is.
Are good.
All right, so let's move on to talking points. I'm going to start on this one here, and I'm going to start with the big moment of, or one of the two big moments of the episode, which is let's talk about Thorfinn and Eric's reunion here. So I'm going to get something conceptual out here first, which is I want you all to imagine, and I hope this isn't actually true for any of you, but let's just imagine, maybe not you personally, but let's imagine an abusive relationship. It could be like, I know I'm starting off rough here, but trust me, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Imagine an abusive relationship. Now, you're in this relationship, or rather this person's relationship, for a very long time. And what you might wonder is stopping them from leaving. Now, again, I'm talking very conceptually here. I haven't given you any context even as to the gender or anything of this particular couple, just that it exists and it's abusive. And I think that for me, there are two things that stop someone from leaving such a relationship. The first of which is an intellectual understanding, as in, I am being physically assaulted, or I am, you know, being gaslit, I am suffering mental harm, emotional harm, you name it. Or even just the loss of material goods. For example, I'm being stolen from constantly, etc., etc. And then there's the emotional side of it, which is, I love this person, or I am deeply, you know, not even love necessarily, maybe it's going to be a friendship, for example, rather than a full-blown relationship. Like, I am so tightly knit with this person, I can't understand that life outside of that kind of thing. Would you agree with what I'm saying so far, Doc, as far as that concept goes?
So far.
So far. Okay, So why am I talking about this with relation to what happens in Vinland Saga and Thorfinn's reunion with Leif? Because there's a lot of really, really interesting lines here. And I think one of them that's really, really telling is Thorfinn yelling, "It'll never be enough." Mm-hmm. He actually says it twice, the second of which is its own sentence. And I have to wonder, like, is Thorfinn, like, has he met one of those two criteria where he understands emotionally or intellectually mm-hmm. that Askeladd's death will never be enough for him? It will never bring him the happiness or the release that he needs if he were to kill him in the way that he wants. Because that, to me, seems very telling that he says it twice. And then on top of that, let's talk also about what he asks Leif specifically. Now, you might think that Thorfinn's been a massive jerk by not asking about his family, and that is true. I'm not going to pretend he's not. But let's drill a little deeper into this. What is Vinland conceptually to Thorfinn? It is a promise of a future for him, a future like, you know, mm-hmm. warm, open plains and fertile lands. And that's the thing that he keeps going back to. And that's why he asks Leif about it now. And yeah, when Leif then says, "Hey, what about your family?" Thorfinn pushes that away. He pushes that back. Why does he push his family away? Because they're elements of his past. A past that he no longer is a part of anymore. And while I ultimately would want him to see his family again, especially given details we were enlightened to before that have not been mentioned in the anime as such, but then part of me wonders if maybe they were dropped because possibly he never sees them again anyway, depending on the events of the show. But when I say that they're part of his past, that is true. He's not the same kid as he was when he, you know, left on that boat that day. Leif even recognizes this. So I think that Thorfinn has some understanding, either emotionally or intellectually, that he wants to be free of this, you know, abusive relationship he's in, because that's arguably what it is, just not in the terms that you or I might describe in modern relationships. Mm-hmm. And that's why he keeps thinking of Vinland and why he wants not to be reminded of the past that's put him in this place.
Yeah.
But rather to the hope of a different tomorrow. And that's why I think there's a little bit of hope to be found in what otherwise is a very bleak outcome for this conversation. Because mm-hmm. you'd think that he and like he would break down, like, you know, his armor, that he's this constant anger that radiates from him would break down just a little bit in the presence of someone who, you know, he's not obviously family like Thorkell, but he's probably more family than Thorkell ever was, mm-hmm. despite them two being blood related. Because Leif was the one who like put the ideas of Vinland in his head in the first place. I remember back in episode one, he was the only one listening attentively to Leif while everyone else thought he was a crackpot.
Right.
So you'd figure, like, after all that time listening to, you know, this guy, that he would probably try and go back to old ways, but he doesn't. He's just got an eye on the future.
It's been too many years, man. Too much shit.
Yeah. Too much anger. Too much, you know, yeah. awful shit that's happened to him.
I think you're... So, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, no, carry on, actually. Yes, I'm approached on score.
Okay. I just was going to... So, I think you're dead on that, like, the second time he says it, right? That it'll never be enough, like, is not a Freudian slip, right? But it's him, like, revealing, right? That, like, even fulfilling my, like, ambitions here won't... There's still going to be a part of me that is broken and unsatisfied. Mm-hmm. And maybe he...
Go ahead. Sorry, I think that fits the emotional side of it more than the intellectual one.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. especially with the way he says it.
It strikes me as...
Sorry, go on.
Oh, it strikes me as the thing I don't even know he realized he felt until... I mean, because you can imagine, like, he's talking to this person.
No one's ever challenged it on.
Yeah, and he's talking to this person he's never seen in 11 years, and it's just bubbling up, like, mm-hmm. you know, and just came out. But go ahead, finish your thought.
No, I was just basically saying, like, I think that for Thorfinn, like, having never really been challenged on this before, like, that's why he slips on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he was, you know, if people had asked him about it a lot throughout his life, he probably would have, like, built up a response to it, something like, it's my duty.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my father's honor, etc. But no, I think that he recognizes it'll do nothing for him in the end. It won't bring back his dad, that's for sure. And you know what's ironic, actually, now I realize it? Remember all the episodes we had about Thor's, like, having a reputation that preceded him?
Yes.
The Troll of Yon was it, I believe. Indeed, that still comes up even in more recent episodes when Thorkell, like, reveals that. But guess who's got his own reputation now? Thorfinn Karlsefni, the
guy, right.
Yeah, the guy who beat Thorkell the Tall with two knives.
I know. Like, yeah.
He now has his own father's reputation, his own, all that kind of, like, you know, infamy as a warrior. So he's, even then, like, you know, he's following in his father's footsteps, unfortunately. But yeah, like, he's got that now. And I just think that, yeah, he recognizes on some level that he needs, you know, he won't give him any satisfaction, but something still drives him on, the intellectual thing, like, of, I still must do this because it's my father's, I must avenge him through honor. Like, that's me as an intellectual concept rather than an emotional one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I find this really, really fascinating and a deep, really interesting insight into his psychology.
Yeah.
And it's really, really tragic.
It is.
And also hopeful at the same time, because even with the music overscoring, it's like, we know, like, this shouldn't have happened at this point. Like, you know, none of this should have happened. Like, there's a reason, for example, we see the, like, the Leif young and old comparison, and also then the Thorfinn young and old comparison, because we recognize that it's taken 11 years out of both of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Leif himself is challenged by one of his colleagues. You've been searching for all this time. And I'll give credit to Leif for doing it. Don't get me wrong. And it's easy again for me to say as a fatherless guy, childless guy, that, you know, maybe it's time to give it up. But I mean, would you do that, Doc?
No.
No, of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't.
No.
You wouldn't stop until, you know, you draw your last breath, basically. Until every drop of blood has left your body, I would imagine. At least not even Thorfinn's father, strictly speaking, but he's still a father figure in his own right. So yeah, this scene was just incredible.
It was,
honestly.
It was so good. And I like how the first kind of response, well, both responses actually on Thorfinn's part, like, So what is he responding to? The question, like, or the plea to come home. And the way that I kind of reconstructed that in my head or interpreted it was, like Leif was saying, like, why don't we turn back the clock, right? Like, why don't we forget about this whole messy business, and you can come home to where you were, and you can come home to your mom and your sister. And, you know, things will be like they were, and you can be reunited with your loved ones. You don't have to live this way anymore. And, like, I think for Thorfinn, I mean, no, for Thorfinn, he said, right? I mean, that turning back the call, like, there's no kind of going back.
No, that's it.
And
he's Thorfinn in name only, as far as I'm concerned, like, relative to the kid that we saw much younger in life. Indeed, that's Leif's observation.
Like, what was enough for child Thorfinn? Just that. Like, it's not going to be enough to save, you know, young man Thorfinn. Like, he's going to have to find something else. And it's funny, like, I was thinking, remember, like, gosh, over 10 episodes ago, we were talking and we were sort of anticipating the arc that he would go on, and we might start to see, like, he might gain something worth protecting, right? And that would be the arc where he would be like, ah, like, revenge is not, like, he would put less stock in that and more emotional stock in protecting people important.
We mentioned one of the ladies that he met previously, serving girls.
Yeah, we thought, like, okay, they're going to have a thing, and
nope.
Looking back on it, yeah, that didn't quite happen like that. But I
swing and a miss.
Yeah, and I like that it didn't. I do like that it didn't do that. Right? It's really going in on exploring, like you said, the psychology of this poor, broken kid. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, we know he's going to become a farmer, but, like, how is this going to happen? Right? Like, how do we get from A to B? Like, I can't even begin to reverse engineer in my head what it's going to take for him to be living some kind of peaceful life, this idyllic farm, like, quiet existence, right? I mean, how is that going to happen? Because he's so poisoned at this point as a person.
Well, clearly what he needs to be doing is he needs to start, you know, working on building up his gear and equipment so he can go fight the world boss. and then get unlock new tech and then build up more of it like that. He's got to delve the dungeon. He's got to break some shadow orbs. And I'm now making Terraria references. I apologize.
Got to do a couple Stardew Valley runs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That would help,
exactly.
I think, in this case. But no, I think that was a great point by you. Very, very well spotted. And yeah, no, great stuff. I love the scene a lot. I thought it was really just crushed by the voice actors here and the director.
The music, the all music. Nailed. Mm-hmm. The facial expressions, all of it. Yeah. Everything, again, the money's going where it needs to right here. It sells it perfectly. And in a way, like, you might think stuff like played out exactly as I expected. Thorfinn was like, you know, angry, like, pure rage boy. Mm-hmm. Of course he's going to, like, yell at Leaf and tell him to go fuck himself and all that. But that happened, but we can see what's, you know, on the outline of that. Mm-hmm. The fit, you know, what this anger is kind of like covering like a scab, which is the wound underneath, the trauma, and also the desire to be better, even if he won't admit it.
Mm-hmm.
Not directly, anyway.
Yeah. Okay, Shadon. What's going to happen in the next episode? How the fuck is this duel going to turn out? Because we think that ultimately at some point, if no other reason than the march of time, Thorfinn is going to win this duel.
I have a theory on this.
Achieve his satisfaction. Or no, it won't be satisfying, but like, do the thing he wants to do. Or that's in play.
Gaze Pyrrhic victory,
right,
basically.
Right,
yeah.
That's in play.
But I have a feeling on this.
But it's also...
I have a feeling.
But Askeladd has proved himself indispensable to the prince. And you can't see him going yet. I mean, he's nowhere near... Canute is nowhere near achieving what he wants to achieve. And I think we saw in the throne room that he needs Askeladd to maneuver... through the life of the court and the intrigues and all the eloquent speeches and everything that you're gonna need. He needs that guy on his side because his kind of appearance and determination and strength of ideals will win him some followers like Thorkell, but like it's not going to help him survive.
By the way, can I just point out when you mentioned Thorkell, there's that wonderful little like image of him and Canute on the map that splits and Thorkell's throwing double peace signs up. I'm like, that's why he knows his fiction. Because Thorkell would never throw the peace sign up.
Dude, can I just say?
I'm just saying.
Did you see, please go back and look at this if you didn't see this. During the duel, right before the duel of Bjorn and Askeladd happens, when Askeladd is talking to the prince and saying, hey, we're going to do this duel. You're going to be the witness, but I have to do something first. There's a shot of Thorkell in the background grinning like a fucking idiot.
I know. I saw that. It was great. I'm surprised he's not there with a bag of popcorn. Either that or turning a spit roast hog or something like
just
the anticipation.
Exactly. Just like a shake
it feels
lamb eating it.
Like... I know we don't get fan art often on Wari Desho, but like if you want to do fan art of like Thorkell attending like a baseball game with like a foam hand or something, or whatever, you know, for him waiting for this duel, I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
It's too good. I love that shot so much. God.
Well, I'm gonna answer your question, Doc. Okay. I have a theory. All right. So recall that Canute says in this episode, the duel's over when I say. Canute's not gonna let Askeladd die Thorfinn's gonna win this time around. Despite the fact that he's now got his knife like in his crutch for some reason, like he's turning into fucking Voldo.
what a pull from Soul Calibur.
I know.
Okay.
Well, that's one way to get up the tier list anyway. But I think that Thorfinn's gonna win and Canute is gonna say, nope. No, you don't get to kill him just yet.
Thorfinn will kill Canute. He doesn't care.
Well the thing is though, Thorkell's there.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that intervention could happen.
Yeah,
And I'm going to go one further.
Do you think Thorkell is going to this time hurricane kick instead of the Shoryuken?
No, he's gonna pull Zangief's command throw, whatever it is, the spinning hurricane.
Yep.
I can see him doing that. Yeah. But I'm gonna go one further than that. I reckon that once Swain is dealt with, Canute's gonna be the one who kills Askeladd. I don't reckon Thorfinn's gonna get his actual full fat, win of the day. He's not gonna have his little bit of salami, I'm afraid. We can't let Thorfinn have a little salami, I'm sorry. Yeah. He's not going to get it. Canute's going to have it. Canute's going to Q-cut.
Yeah, I think actually, and I may have actually said this before, but like, you know, I feel like in that scenario you've laid out with someone else killing Askeladd gives Thorfinn a clear path to come out of this well of awfulness that he is in.
It's gonna fucking break him in the first bit, though.
Yeah,
he's gonna lose his shit. Mm-hmm. Something fierce over that.
Yeah.
But then the problem is that since Canute, of course, is gonna now be king after accomplishing this, Thorfinn will have no way of fighting back. And I don't know. I have a feeling some heinous shit's gonna happen.
Yeah. Boy.
Things are not going to end well for Thorfinn. I think we're going to have a downer. Like, you remember what it was like Christmas last year?
Another
when
one.
I was there covering Banana Fish, episode 24, uh-huh. Catcher in the Rye, and I've got my goofy Christmas hat on, and like, oh, this is a fucking bummer, isn't it? That's what it's going to be like.
Man, another one of these. Yeah, I mean, it's only two more weeks.
We're going to have bummer episodes every single time Christmas happens, honestly, on Warrior Death Show.
God damn it.
Fuck's sake, really. That's my guess.
Oh boy. Well, I mean, it sounds, I think I'm on board with that. I mean, it sounds quite plausible to me.
It's going to fucking suck, but it's going to be, it sounds like it's going to happen.
Yeah, not giving him that, I feel like, yeah, would, again, provide a clear path to him eventually kind of coming around and fixing his life. So, yeah. Okay. All right, over to you.
Right, let's talk about Bjorn and Askeladd's duel. So, I put this as a question in the polls, but I'm going to ask you, Doc. I'm going to give you free answers here, but feel free to deviate and pick them up with your own if you wish. Okay. Why do you think Askeladd missed Bjorn's vitals? And I've got three answers that I put on the poll. The first of which is, he did it to be cruel to him.
Right.
To let him suffer in his final moments. Two, he did it because he didn't really want to kill him right away. Like, a hesitation, mm-hmm. if you will. Or three, the cop-out answer, if you're into that, complete accident. Which it could be, to be fair.
Sure.
I mean, he did say that his leg, after all, had gone a bit funny, so that might have been why, and indeed, credence is paid to him, like, leaning on his leg when he makes the lunge for Bjorn, so
yeah.
Maybe that could indeed be why that happened. It's just that he miscalculated because he's still in his own way injured.
I'm going to go three by way of two.
Free by way of two. That you reckon that he was mostly accidental, but also didn't really want to do it.
He had that hesitation mentally. And so that led to the fuck up. So as cruel of a bastard as he is, I mean, you can't. I mean, that's just awful. Just, you're like, well, you can suffer.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed your vitals, bro. Whoops.
Yeah. And especially, I think, like, I mean, how could you not be, like, thrown off if someone telling you, I just wanted to be your friend, man, and then fight,
mm-hmm.
you know, there you go. And then he's coming at you with a sword. Man, why do you think this duel happened to begin with?
The thing is, Bjorn was dying. Like, we could tell that in the
scene. Yeah, they need to have some kind of final resolution of their feelings, but, like, yeah, why a duel?
But the thing is, though, Bjorn, like, you know, he is a Dane, and where do Danes want to die? On the battlefield. I can't see him wanting to die in bed from a fever or an
infection. You're right, like the dying. Yeah, so I guess if he realizes he's going to die, yeah, he's going to want
to... Yeah, I mean, that's why he said it would only... That's why, like, when they were talking to Thorfinn, they said, we'll only be a minute. Because they knew what the outcome of this was.
Yeah.
But they wanted it to happen under that pretense anyway. Which is ironic when you consider that Thorfinn wants the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue... I mean, let's go, like, if you want to get into the serious nature of, like, euthanasia and
Askeladd,
all that.
Askeladd, you were my only friend. Stab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Masakel's got it. No worry, goes to Valhalla without a weapon in hand.
Yep. Yeah. And that's, like you said, mm-hmm. preferred place to die, and it's probably the best way to be vulnerable with Ascalad and have him similarly be vulnerable. You know what I mean? If you want to, if you have some kind of feelings you want to get across to him, that's like the best place to do it is on this battlefield where you know you're going to die, right?
Yeah. And the thing that's like, first off, it's tragic on the level of just simply that we've seen Bjorn and Ascalad be good friends throughout. Like, whether or not they would openly admit it to each other, like, that's what I would describe them as. Mm-hmm. Bjorn was like one of the few people, if not the only person, who was steadfast with him when they all mutinied.
Yep.
He went straight in for him. He was like, nope, fuck the lot of you. I know where my loyalty's like. And I would be remiss, by the way, I become more and more aware of people doing a lot of Ascalad and Bjorn shipping in fan art and such. And I bring that up because often I find, like with fan art like that, where people do ships, it becomes from a place of understanding of an existing relationship that they feel like could be taken further in the headcanon. And you know what? That's great. I'll come with all the headcanon that you want. And I think that also then shows that people recognize their relationship, which is at the very least friendship, even if that headcanon then takes it further. But then let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond why this is truly awful. The reason that Ascalad hates Bjorn is just because of his association with the Danes. Even though Bjorn himself has fought with Ascalad all these years and proven his loyalty 10 times over. I mean, this is why Fëanor brought up that question of, like, you know, holding someone, a kid hostage. Like, it's a reprehensible act and maybe Bjorn wouldn't normally have done it. But he did save Ascalad's life when Fors was about his fucking number. So, war has made enemies of friends here based on their allegiances to countries that both of them, Bjorn and Ascalad, have only the thinnest of connections to. Like, Bjorn's a Dane, but he clearly doesn't give a shit about fighting for his country, and Ascalad's connection to Wales has always been denied him in full, mostly because of his upbringing. And even then, as we've discussed before, like, whether or not he's actually fighting for Wales or not, that's up for debate of whether or not it's just an excuse. But nonetheless, you know, the results speak for themselves in the end. Ascalad's duel with Bjorn ends with Bjorn dead, and he does point out his misery after allowing that final moment to say that, you know, he wanted to be his friend. That's all he wanted. It's really, really touching. Like, the music, again, is very similar to that in mood and tone to that when Leif and Thorfinn are talking. Because it is a tragedy. It's stupid and dumb and cruel and awful that these two are now fighting, or brought to fight each other, and it's based on their understanding of this relationship where, oh, I know you hate me all this time just because of who I was and who I was born as, but not because of who I've been since then. That's why I wanted to be your friend. We'll make enemies out of, you know, even close friends like that. And yeah, Massa, you're exactly right. Ascalad gave Bjorn the dignity, you know, of putting the cape over him to, you know, just let him rest without being soaked in blood. Even then, he cleans his blade a little bit Bjorn's blood at the end rather than letting it soak it. I agreed, like, I think for my money, by the way, if I were Bjorn, I would have done the same thing and let myself, like, you know, be killed in that fight. Because even me, like, you know, I'm no Viking. I'm certainly no warrior, that's for sure.
The great part.
Gilskier players may
come back to.
Gilskier players may disagree. No, it's true. I am no warrior. But one thing that I am very certain of is that I would not want to die in a bed like, you know, dying from fever or infection like Bjorn was. I'd want to go out, you know, with dignity and pride. And that's what he does in the end. It's a very powerful moment. I mean, the Berserk references for me, you know, they're not thrown out just as jokes. Mm. There is, you know, a similar idea behind it, the betrayal of friendship and all that. And indeed, I wouldn't be surprised if Makoto Yukimura was a little bit inspired by that moment.
Oh, yes.
But hey, nothing wrong with that. And as I was saying, though, Doc, like, while you were away, the thing that's also really sad about this is that Ascalad hates Bjorn simply because of who he is, as in a Dane, which is an attribute that Bjorn does not give two fucks about because he fights the Danes on a regular basis. But nonetheless, that to Ascalad, you know, stop them from being friends in the open sense, you know.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, like, and that goes back to the whole idea of war making enemies out of people who otherwise would be family or friends, see Thorkell and Thorfinn.
Do you think he really...
It's shit!
Do you think he meant what he said?
Hmm?
Do you think Askeladd meant what he said about being friends?
Well, that's another question, isn't it? Because then you might argue... Well, here's the thing. I actually don't think that it matters if he does or doesn't, because here's the thing. Bjorn dies having heard that. He can't... That moment can't then be unsullied, even if he didn't mean it, because he know... Like, it was certainly said sincerely enough. You know, it's that... It's like the old of mice and men moment. Like, hey, you know what? I didn't mean we're getting the farm, but before I shoot you in the back of the head, but you go away with that moment. Doc, they can't hear you.
Sorry. I'm back. Of course.
We need to get lip readers in on this. Like, I hope there are lip readers in the audience. Either that, or I can start, like, you know, substituting audio in where, like, Doc starts, you know, reading out from Mussolini's diaries or something like that, just for funsies.
Very professional.
Do you want to read Burford?
That we're running here. No, I just asked if, do you think that Askeladd really did mean you were my friend, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that whether or not he meant it doesn't matter in the end, because Bjorn got to hear the words and he got to hear them said sincerely enough that it's true one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want my honest answer, I personally think he did.
I do too.
I personally think he did.
Again, he's a cad. He's a terrible man who will do many things to accomplish his goals. I also don't think that he would lie about something like that just to give someone comfort, because he is such a bastard. You know what I mean?
He's too honest about it.
Like, why would he do that?
This is why, like, I suppose my question of did he do it to be cruel to him? Like, I can understand why people would go no at that, because if he had, he'd have glowed about it. He certainly wouldn't have tried to, you know, killed him afterwards to ease his suffering. You'd have probably let it prolong and be like, well, Bjorn, you're always way too tanked up on the magic mushies. You're a fucking liability. Do you know how much they cost me each time that we went anywhere? God damn it, man.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking trippy, toadstooly bastard.
Another incredible scene. God, the scene was so good. Man, so many good scenes in this
tragedy again.
Ugh. But yes, very sad.
Mm.
Very sad.
Over to you, Chief.
How did you feel about I guess not the concept of the body double, because it's a very normal kind of thing for, you know, royal people. See Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace. That's right, I brought that up.
Our episode two. I failed you, my queen, she says as she takes the bullet and dies. Like, oh, you did great. Well done. Congratulations.
You did your job. What did you think about the body double in this one? Oh my god, I knew the whole time. I've always suspected Canute was a woman.
Well, it depends how you look at it, because I think that you can take it on face value as like, oh god, these guys are fuckwits. Which they are, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it also just goes to show, like, you know, the lack of value people have in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that they recognize, oh, Canute's dead, like, but he's a woman. My god, I knew it.
What a big scoop. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But I think, again, that just goes to show, like, how little, like, value people put on the lives of others. Even people like Canute in the end.
Yeah. Because, like, it's...
I mean, diegetically, I'd understand that being the reaction of Viking people in that
right,
time.
Right, but it's like you said, like, here's this poor soul bleeding out in front of you, and...
At least Canute has the good sense to, like, you know, be apologetic for it, say, we're not doing that again.
Yeah, and like the...
Sorry,
go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I think the show does a pretty good job in that moment of communicating what I thought was kind of an uncomfortable tone. You know what I mean? Like, here you have some people, like you said, they're like, oh my god, this is big news right here. And some, like, reactions that are genuinely funny because of us anime fans. Like, we know about, you know, Canute's design being the way it is, being a thing. And he's a very feminine kind of in his features and everything. So like those reactions were like, I don't think that they were like unfunny, but like you're having this like moment that like there's a funny observation. But like you said, this someone is dying. It's very...
There's a lot of ennui about it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's very almost a nihilistic scene in some ways. Mm. Like, but it's very kind of uncomfortable. But really
maybe it speaks
good
to this...
as a scene.
Yeah, I think that the one of the things behind it might be the idea that, you know, the royal... like. I mean, this is the Game of Thrones thing, like, you know, let them do their Game of Thrones, but they think people don't care. Like, people see it as spectacle or theatre to enjoy. And so this sudden twist, this shock horror that technically could be in a Shakespeare play, well, what a twist that is indeed. Let's enjoy it like it is actual drama rather than the death of a person who, you know, didn't deserve it. And when I say didn't deserve it, just to make it clear, folks, like, the plan was Askeladd's going to hire an assassin to kill the person he hired to act as a Canute's body double. What a dick.
Yeah, right. Or at the time, like, everyone still thought it was the prince, you know? So the prince didn't deserve to get shot either. So, yeah, I mean, it's a scene that I could see kind of being botched by a lot of different teams. But I really did think that almost the absurdity of it... I don't know, like, it was handled, it was pretty well done, and I don't think, like, they weren't hitting you over the head with, like, look how absurd this scene is, like, aren't these people, like, so terrible that they don't care about this? It's sort of just, like, left for you to kind of take that in. You know, if anything, they pushed really hard, like, it looks like Canute, but with boobs, like, you know.
I think that the key distinction I make with this scene is that it's unsettling, but it's unsettling in the way it is intended by the work itself and the text, as opposed to being unsettling because it wasn't handled appropriately.
Exactly. They're making an unsettling point, I think. And it's
Which
well
is,
done.
Oh, look at this person dying. Haha, it's funny, it's dramatic, it's great, it's entertainment for the masses. And it turns out that Canute was a woman all along. Isn't that a thing that's worth talking about? Like the fucking gossip mongers.
Like that would be the headline. I didn't realize I was instead of like Canute dies, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Not the death itself, more just the shock revelation. Yeah. Although that being said, it certainly handled, you know, this person was a woman all along better than Kabukicho Sherlock does.
Oh man, I'm.
That's a teaser for episode 9.
And I have no idea what it's about yet, so I'm looking forward to this. Okay.
It's about taking the audience's heads and slamming them inside the car door for 5 minutes.
Good God.
And then pushing him down a cliff. I fucking hated that episode with all the fire in my veins. But that's discussion for a different time.
So so hit me with your next point here.
I'm actually good on points. Okay. I've said all I really see, because the two big moments for me were those. I could say talk about other moments, like the fact that, you know, there's, again, great design work going into faces and such, like when we have Leaf's flashback. You can actually physically tell that Askeladd is younger in the flashback. And the thing is, like, it's a question of, like, watching things over a long period of time where you might not notice that. And I'm sure that that was the case where Askeladd in the past, as it were, quote-unquote, looks younger than he does now. But you wouldn't necessarily notice that unless you're paying attention. But this is a very deliberate hard cut from past to present. And you can tell. And that's not just because he's got the scar above his eye, which, again, they've now added in, but also because of the lines on his face, how sunken he is, how gaunt he looks relative to back then. So I appreciate them doing that, because it would be understandable, if disappointing, if they were just like, nah, you know, we'll just have the scenery change, but it looks the same guy. But they actually did that, so kudos to them for doing
it. It's really good.
Details are really, really solid in Vinland Saga right now. They've got all of that on point and on lockdown. And I hope they continue that all the way to the end. Oh, before I forget, I know it's like, you know, really obvious symbolism, but I loved the flickering candle that was dying out in Bjorn's room as a metaphor for himself coming to the end of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably the way that you know that he's really dying.
Yeah.
Is the candle. That's the biggest flashing light. not to put too fine a point on it.
And then Asclad accidentally... You know what they could have done to make that even more potent? If Asclad was the one who blew it out at the end. Sorry, you dropped out.
What did you say?
What they could have done was they could have had Asclad be the one to blow it out as he leaves.
God. Yeah.
That would have been a fucking moment.
That might have been too much.
Yeah, that might have been too much.
What if
on
he just
there.
Like licked his finger and then put it out?
No, he just knocks it over by accident.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Sorry, Bjorn. I hope you don't get cold in here.
Totally. So I thought speaking of Askeladd, there was an interesting in the detail you mentioned. Like, I love the way that they drew him in the war room as he's explaining his plans, especially when he concludes the explanation, and he's like, he looks like a ringmaster, like a puppeteer, like he's arms out, like, and he's got this look on his face that makes me wonder, especially given what you said about him being killed by Canute, like, will there be this moment when, you know, those two clash, they're in their kind of ideals or their vision, and will Canute just be like, this guy is too clever for his own good, like he's too dangerous even to me? And I don't know, like, because once he's got power and he honors the Welsh agreement, it'll be fine, but maybe leading up to it, right, like maybe, you know, Askeladd will think, god damn it, Canute, if you don't do it this way, you're going to ruin everything. And Canute will just be like,
well, that's it.
No, we have to do it my way. In fact, I'm killing you.
No, I'm going to go. Yeah, in fact, you know what, Askeladd? I'll play it your way for once. Oh, how do you like them apples?
Right.
Yeah. Because Canute clearly still has some moral sense of when he seems disgusted at the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Which, funnily enough, I think may very well be the way he rules from here on out, which is that his morality now is only in hindsight, which is, well, that's too little too late.
Man. It really is, like, stark. You know, he, a few episodes ago when he had his epiphany, like, he felt, like, so, he was the actualizer, right? He was an active, like, he was the one making things happen. And he feels very dependent on Askeladd right now. And, like you said, like, you know, I'm sure about the body double, he's like, well, you played your part in establishing Vinland, a real heaven on earth, a utopia, so you didn't die in vain. You died for the cause, and that's fine. I can sleep well enough at night, but like, how many more of those will happen, you know, where... Because... Fuck, man, he didn't tell him he was going to do... Askeladd didn't tell Canute he was going to do this. He probably would have objected. And like, yeah, will there be a line that gets crossed, right? We're like, you did this without telling me? Like, you are so dead, you know what I mean? So I'm interested.
Man, wouldn't that be, like, you know, I've said all this time about Thorfinn having... They should have killed Askeladd because of all the awful shit he's done, not least of which being his own personal reasons for doing that. What a fucking irony that would be if Canute then killed him because he knows that Askeladd is doing all this awful shit and he's the one willing to actually step up and do it. Oh my god, I think my head would explode.
Yeah. And Massa, I don't think, like, I think Canute asked Askeladd if he was going to kill him because I think he would have tried to spare him somehow. I don't think he wanted him to kill him. And I think he didn't pursue the line of questioning any further when he realized Askeladd is actually going to let him live and not kill him, which I think is what he wanted, despite knowing that he's a spy. And this is what I want to be made like really explicit with Canute going forward, that like he has these kind of... He wants these like seemingly impossible outcomes because he is this idealist, right? You know, here you have like a threat to the kingdom, a spy, and oh, we have to kill him, but no, we have to keep him alive. Why? Like, because this is my like moral code. Like, this is what I want from Canute. I want him to come into conflict with Askeladd in this way. I'm really excited about these last three episodes. I have no idea what could be in store. I mean, I I think the series is a snowball going downhill at this point. I think it's only going to continue.
It's really built momentum.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely impressed how it's found its footing again. It's giving us like what I think it wanted to do, but never did simultaneously, which is it's giving us good character work, but it's also giving us the wider messaging of the show. It's not letting one come at the detriment of the other. Now, to be fair, the character work in the earlier part of the show had to be set up before we could even get the wider messaging, let's be honest. Although even in the earliest episodes was stuff like Halfdan. You remember him?
I haven't thought about Halfdan in a while, but yes, I remember him.
He's only third down now. He's lost some weight. But like, you know, slavery and all that, like, you know, escaping to... I mean, did you and I were discussing in the very first or second episode about the slave and like Thor's giving him the image of Vinland as a send-off, which now ties back to Bjorn and his send-off here in friendship with Askeladd. It all comes round again, telling you folks, all links. And then, of course, we had like the segue into the more wider stuff where we kind of got to see the characters as a group, but from outside perspectives, like with, for example, Anna, was it? I can't remember her name. The lady who had the ring, you know, the One Ring of Power.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You remember her?
Yeah. That was a great episode.
Great episode. Not about our characters per se, but rather more about how they interact with the world and how they are viewed from the outside. But that then kind of shifted away from that focus, which I've had some issues with. Pacing has not been great. But right now, this show is firing on all cylinders. The guys who are doing this are doing a damn fine job in pretty much every respect. And I'm really, really impressed with it. I don't know whether or not in the end... this show will outshine some of the other stuff that I've seen this year in terms of anime release this year, to be honest. But it's certainly punching quite high at the moment. I've been quite impressed by it.
100%. I think this, like, I'm pretty sure I've said this before, but hey, it's always someone's first show. So I feel like this show would have fared so well if it came out in, like, the first... anime boom period in North America, like in the late 90s, whenever there wasn't a lot of content, not nearly as much as we have now, and it would have hopefully kind of come out quickly. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that came out piecemeal, but it would be ideal, I think, to get all the show at once and to watch it like as quickly as possible from front to back. I think
binging this one would probably
I think the flaws will be less apparent. The pacing flaws, because there's enough
to
propel you through the middle, in my opinion, that you're given early on. I think that would work better for the show. Today we just, there's just such a glut of content that so many good things get passed over and don't get their due. But
and I'd be remiss as well if I said, like, you know, I joked before about Leaf, like, you know, oh, here he is, Sir, not appearing in this film. But he came back, and not only was it a good payoff of Thorfinn, because let's be honest here, in this story, Leek's presence is not really for his own character. He is there to serve the purpose of enhancing or challenging Thorfinn's character, which is fine. Characters can be created to serve that purpose. Not every single character needs, or even should, as far as good writing goes, have the same amount of screen time. But what I even really appreciate is not only did they manage to, you know, get that, like, here's how he challenges Thorfinn, and we got that, like, stuff that I talked about before from Thorfinn's perspective. We, in turn, got to see how it has actually taken a toll on Leif's own life, from him wandering the known world at the time trying to find Thorfinn, and how there is an argument to be made, even if you don't agree with it, it's still an argument that's worth having, that he might have wasted his life doing so. And that's all for a character whose presence in the show has only been peripheral at most, and has only really been to serve as kind of like the wise old sage who sets ideas off in Thorfinn's head. And they still give him that amount of characterization where there has been a cost to him as well. This is good shit. It is.
Very good. So, do we rate the episode or do we check on the polls?
We'll check on the polls firstly, since I have those at hand. So if you'll just give me a second while I pull this lever here. This wheel over here and then pull this up here. Yeah, we're all very old-fashioned here. poll number one for episode 21. Which moral system do you reckon Thorfinn follows? And the answers are 14% say Paragon and 86% say Renegade. Well put. If anyone wants to start photoshopping in Renegade prompt points, like, for example, when Thorfinn loses it with Leaf, that would be a good time to do it. Next up,
remember this.
Leaf will remember that, yeah. Poll number two. Does Thorfinn realise on some level that killing Askeladd will give him no joy or finality in the end? 57% say yes, and 43% say no. So mixed bag here. Mixed bag. And I could see it both ways, actually. As much as I argue the yes side of it, which he kind of does with that second repeat of the line, I think that, you know, there's having an unconscious understanding of it, and so, all the degrees thereof until you actually really do realise it. Poll number three. Is Gunnar the worst spy in human history? And, well, this is a fucking landslide, isn't it? I mean, Jesus Christ, like, you know, this guy could not even, like, you know, get past airport customs if he had to approach the one blind person they had there, which would be 100% say absolute fail.
Yeah. Not since...
And 0%...
Not since Maxwell Smart.
0% say...
There been worse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Jesus Christ, like, Leslie Nielsen, like, you know, in The Naked Gun... Like, he's a better spy than him. Episode 21, poll number four. This was the repeat of the question I asked Doc earlier, which is, why or how did Askeladd miss Bjorn's vitals in their duel? 0% say to make him suffer. 36% say reluctance to kill him, and 64% say complete accident. So, yep, I think that's, again, like, pretty much with the ratio that you said, where it was, like, you know, mostly column C with a little bit of column B. So it makes sense to me. All right, that's the polls, folks. Thank you very much for throwing those out there. Feel free to retweet them, and they will be open for another week. So get your answers in on those. Let us know what you think in advance of episode 22 when, well, shit hits the fan again, repeatedly.
Indeed. So I guess we should rate the episode now. So I'm going to go ahead and say that this episode had a lot of strong points visually and narratively that we have talked about. So I'm going to give this episode 4.75 body doubles who have sadly perished out of 5.
I'm going to give it the exact same rating. I'm going to give this 4.75 Gunnar's spy victory dance out of 5. Because you saw him, like, doing his little jig inside the, you know, inside the forest. You know full well, like, he's just completely and utterly fucking useless. But yeah, again, like I said with the previous episode... All the right notes are being hit at the moment. Yeah. So much meaning is being derived out of these scenes here. We're getting payoff for long-established moments, which we've been promised. Leaf didn't turn out to be, you know, like, a thing waiting in the distance. We actually got genuine meaning out of it, both for him and for Thorfinn, which, fuck me, if that's not impressive writing there and then. The music was spot on. The moments with Bjorn and Askeladd, again, very touching, very moving, very well handled. All the line work. Yeah, this show is, like, really, really hitting its stride and in the closing moments where it matters most. How many shows have you and I watched where we can say, like, it ended that strongly? Or it's ending that strongly, even?
Yeah, and anime endings are hard, man.
it's always hard to stick the landings, to be honest.
It's true. It's very true.
But it's doing it, which means, of course, now it actually has to land, so please don't fuck this up, Vinland Saga.
Just
say.
You can stick the landing on your 2019 by becoming a Watery Dish Show patron over at, at patreon.com/WateryDishShow. There are 3 budget-friendly tiers, $2, $3, $5. You get all kinds of cool rewards. We're doing some podcasts about Studio Ghibli works. That 2 of those have been released to patrons are Laputa, Castle in the Sky, and A Tale of Princess Kaguya. Princess Mononoke, the other Ghibli princess, is forthcoming. And you can get those early. Those, like I said, have been out and will be out soon for patrons of any stripe, any tier, along with all kinds of other goodies. Like, we got a pretty cool active Discord that you could be a part of.
Damn right.
Got, bonus content, bonus episodes. We're about to record our after show, which you can get if you're a patron. We have, like full-on audio essays and reviews for the higher tiers that you can get a hold of. We're doing another episodic review like the one that you're seeing here for a second anime. This season, we're tackling Kabukicho Sherlock. Next season will be one that's much more desirable. There will be something like Jeweler Richard or Dorohedoro or something like that.
Hell, I'll watch a nuclear fallout test footage instead of a Busho Sherlock.
Yeah.
Or how about PSAs about polio and diphtheria? I'll watch those instead from the fucking 50s.
Slow TV, the slow TV review stream.
Yeah, give me something like that instead of watching that heinous piece of shit.
Check it out if you can. But if you're not able, or hell, just don't want to support us financially, I don't blame you. And then you're valid, and it's cool. We love you anyway. You could show support if you are so inclined for free dollars, free ass free support. If you share our stuff, follow us places like Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube, click the little bell to get our YouTube videos. If you may be listening to this on SoundCloud and be like, what? There's a YouTube? There's a stream of this? And there are other videos? But it's true. So there's a...
Yeah, see my face, mm-hmm. everything. Now that's a reason to subscribe.
Completely. There's a Twitch channel, and if you want to contact us, you can get up with the show at waterydeshow@gmail.com or waterydeshow on Twitter, where you vote on the polls, if you want to complain or encourage. But I think I left this off almost, and I can't. Why did I do that? Apple Podcast Reviews, the former iTunes, rest in peace. You're now up there in World 1-1 with Bjorn. Bjorn and iTunes hanging out together forever in the next world. But that helps our discoverability a lot. And reviews, ratings are always appreciated. But if you want to contact Shadon, only Shadon, how would they do that?
You can find me on Twitter at Shaden1010. I have a curious cat on the same thing, I believe. Mm-hmm. Feel free to drop me questions, statements, or questions and statements simultaneously, whatever tickles your fancy.
Yeah, so Shadon1010 on Twitter and Curious Cat. For me, it's at The Subtle Doctor on Twitter. At me about whatevs. I'm here for you. And I think that's going to do it for the reunion stream. I wish we could play Reunion, the Final Fantasy VII OST track, to lead us
out. That'll be the music for the duel next episode.
Mm-hmm. But look, we've loved having you all. Thank you to everyone.
Indeed. Thank you very much, everyone.
And for everyone watching who's just lurking. Lurkers are valid. And for everyone watching or listening on demand, podcast audience, YouTube audience, we love you. And
indeed,
we hope that you brave the cold and that you have a happy and safe
Real hoodie power, cold folks. Time. Saves mm-hmm. everyone.
Yep. So for Shadon, this is me, the Subtle Doctor, saying embrace each other, everyone, to the ends of the universe.
Good night, everyone. All the best.